Well, when you do that, that means that the expected payout is actually only $42,500, right? Because you do $85,000 plus zero divided by two for the two partners. So the actual expected payout on a 50-50 chance is $42,000, which you're getting for paying him $52,000, right? So it's instantly a negative $10,000 trade-off just based on for you as a couple, right? And it's a bad deal, right? You should pass it up. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing. And most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Right. Hey, we're back. This is episode 12 of Service and Wealth. Hold on. I'm adjust the microphone a little bit here. Sorry. Hey, that's just part of doing business, right? And getting this thing recorded. All right. It's, well, it's our 12th episode. It's Labor Day weekend, which for all of us in the military means it's officially the end of summer, right? You always got the 100 days of summer training that you're supposed to do for like the holidays and the summer weather and the outdoor activities that you do between Memorial Day and Labor Day, including those, you know, a lot of times those are 4-day weekends or 96s, and it adds up to like right around 100 days of summertime. And so, you get all the classes about boating accidents or motorcycle safety or outdoor grilling, like how to make sure you don't set yourself or your spouse or your friends on fire or your neighbors on fire. Even, maybe it would be useful if you didn't like your neighbors to learn how to do it, make it look like an accident, right? not that I've thought of that. And for me, the hilarious bit about the 100 days or 101 days of summer, whatever we called it, maybe it was 101 days. I don't know. Now that, that was so long ago that I remember sitting through those trainings out there in 29 Palms in some hot air-conditioned warehouse. And, now all the numbers that float around my head have to do with like Disney movies and like kids stories. So maybe it's 101, or maybe I'm just thinking about the Dalmatians. Either way, for me, the hilarious and ironic thing was when we did that training, right? And it was sometime in June, and it happened more than once, and it was tragic, but more than one time, that opening weekend, it's not like we were reacting. We just didn't get our stuff together as a staff to plan the training in the class. And like, we didn't really take it seriously. We're like, okay, we got to make sure we get this done. We got to this company's out in the field shooting gunnery, and let's wait until they get back. And when they get back, well, everybody else is on the 96. So we'll just do it like June 8th, because that's when everybody's going to be here. More than one time, we lost a Marine to a tragic off-duty accident. Pretty much always motorcycle accidents. Getting out on their Memorial 96, and they were eager to go get to the beach, go see boyfriend, girlfriend, friends, family, whatever the case may be. And so they hopped on and they took off, and It was tragic. It's not like having the class ahead of time would have prevented it, because accidents happen. But it always reminds me, whenever I look back at any of these kind of things, about how we always do the training just a little bit too late, right? And my years as a company commander, and then my final years where I was just sort of like a random staff officer, and in that capacity, like through my, I miss being, like in command or being the actual unit leader, because of all of the great interactions you get to have with your people in your unit, and the conversations and the counseling. And, development was like a two-way street every time. It wasn't like I had all the right answers, but each time I got to talk to a Marine or sailor, we got to talk through things and we both came away smarter. And, you know, when you're a staff officer, you're like, it's like you and three other people who are in the same rank and life stage and, like, you know, at the same level of depression over your existence. And you just kind of, you know, like the growth as a leader, you know, stops, unless you're a parent, right? Then you get some of the same experiences, but I missed it. And so I would volunteer where I could to counsel young Marines or sailors or midshipmen or whatever the case may be, and just kind of like spend a good time listening and then talking through their problems. And from across all those experiences, the one thing that, you know, and again, it's because obviously my passion is, you know, beyond service is personal finance and mastering your money and giving yourself a chance to have a better life, and to give your kids a chance to do even more and have an even better life, right? Like, to me, that's the American dream, right? Like, have a better life than the generation before you. You know, like my grandfather's, my great grandfather's, you know, came over and did odd jobs and figured it out. And then my grandfather's, you know, one like installed awnings and countertops and the other like maintained telephone wires. And then you get to my parents and, you know, they were teachers and my dad was a small businessman and they both kind of took control, you know, of their own lives, and both of my parents got to do some great things. And then to me, like, I have an obligation, not just a dream, to like continue the positive trend, but you know, an obligation for all the hard work that all those generations before me put in to carry on and like make them proud and do more. And so, you know, that those kind of things always resonate with me, the overlap between leadership and service in the military and finances. And one of the things that always just irked me more than anything else, and like as Mufasa 6, the first battalion commander I worked for, used to say would get his Irish up, right? And I, as a second lieutenant, I definitely caused his Irish to get up a couple times. But what really has always gotten my Irish up is you get kids who come in, they're about to punch out on terminal leave. You know, you counsel them on their plans and they told you where they were going and what they were doing. And so then you sign off on their counseling worksheet that says like, yes, we've talked to them. They're prepared to separate. And then they go off to their transition readiness seminar or transition assistance program, whatever you call it in your service branch. And they would come back after that week and, you know, they've got like, at this point, they've got like 6 weeks or 10 weeks left before they're officially a civilian again. And they're like, sir, why? I just went to this thing after 4 years, after 8 years, after 12 years even of service. And I just found out about A, B, or C. You know, they just found out about like how to manage their thrift savings plan, or they just found out about the savings deployment plan where, you know, anytime you deploy, you can put money into this program, and for the time you're deployed, you're going to get 10% return, right? Guaranteed 10% return the whole time you're deployed on whatever you put in there. You know, it's like these financial tools and advantages. And there's no excuse, right? There's no excuse. Like, that should be, rather than teaching people in the service, you know, how to not burn a steak on the grill, you know, every Memorial Day, maybe we could just remind them like, hey, don't be stupid. By the way, let's talk about how to manage your thrift savings plan. Or let's talk about, since you've got a deployment coming up when you get back from that 96, let's refresh everybody on the savings deployment plan, right? So there's a lot of better things we could do. And that's one of the main motivations for the Military Wealth Coach and everything that we produce, is to like take all of, for me, what's been, if you include my time on Wall Street and in graduate school studying finance, you know, 25 years of education and also military experience with military programs, and just kind of like the streets, Main Street to Wall Street, and figuring things out the hard way and learning from other mentors, and like packaging it all in a way that, whether it's a podcast, a blog, a book, social media, you know, online resources, whatever it is, it's like accessible to all of you in uniform. And you can get it, you can digest it, and you can take control of your own education, so you can take control of your finances and just achieve whatever goals you might have that are, you know, as we've said a couple of times, it's not about the bank account balance. It's really about what the bank account balance can do for you. And if you're, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you don't have any savings and your retirement savings are not enough, you know that 61% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck and have zero savings. About 3/4 of them have a total of about $8,000 in savings and over $21,000 in credit card and auto loan debt. And the average retirement savings of an American when they reach 65 is only $232,000, which is going to last about 6 or 7 years just to afford a slightly above poverty level retirement, right? So like across the board, that's a miserable lifestyle, right? You're always going into debt to buy stuff you want. You're always stressed about what's going to happen if an emergency comes up or an unplanned expense. You don't have the extra cash to do nice things, to take long vacations, to buy the nice stuff you want. And then when you finally get to the end of the road and you can't work anymore, you don't even have enough to like stay in your home. And you end up downsizing to a one-bedroom apartment because that's all you can afford, and your Social Security is just enough to pay your property tax. You know, it's a terrible existence, and it can all be, you know, overcome or avoided with a little bit of education and a little bit of planning and a little bit of savings and investment. And the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be able to reach your goals and make your dreams come true. And so, you know, that's just a long way to say that right now as we're opening September, and in our last episode, we kind of had the inspiration, like, let's get back and do some military specific profiling of military programs and be a combination of like informative as well as like no BS straight shooting on it. Because normally we don't really, you know, I kind of have that, I'll always be a Marine officer in the sense I'll be like, go figure it out, you know. I'm not here to hold your hand. But in these cases, when we're talking like blended retirement system and some of these other things, like we'll take the time to put some actual like factual information out there about the details of the program before we give you our analysis and opinion. And so to start that off, instead of jumping straight into the blended retirement system, because you know that's only been in place for about, what, 6 years now? I forget what the exact cutoff was. I know the opt-in was like 2018. It's not important. We won't waste any time to look it up. But basically, you know, right now we've got still the majority and everybody who in the next 5 to 10 years in the military is going to retire is probably under the legacy high three, in which it's just, you know, straight take your last 3 years, your highest three paychecks, average them out, and you get 50% of it if you retire at 20 years. So, you know, blended retirement system for them is not really like a personal thing, but as a leader and a mentor, like they need to understand it. And really talking about blended retirement system is like for the next generation, everybody who's come in the last 10 years and who continues to come in the future. So to start it off, instead of just going straight into one that like is only, you know, like relevant for like not 100% of the audience, when we're talking about military retirement programs and savings programs, I thought I'd cover something today that is, it should be kind of a simple one, and it applies to everybody, whether you retire in, I should say everybody who's going to retire, it applies to you, whether that's the legacy high three or the blended retirement system. And what we're talking about is the Survivors Benefit Program, or SBP. You may not have heard of it, right? If you're new coming into the service, you may not have heard of it. As someone who's gone through the transition, transition readiness seminar, where they tell you about all the things you should think about and like manage when you're getting out of the military, I can tell you that this is glossed over, and it's, you just get like the company line on it, which is like, this is a great thing for you to take care of your financial future, right? Like financial security with the survivor benefit program. And then they move on. And as with all things in the military, the thing that is best for the government or best for the military, they make easy. And the thing that's best for you, they make kind of difficult. Like you have to jump through hoops. So before I explain what that is, let's just quick do an overview of the Survivor Benefit Program. Now, what is it, SBP? It's just income insurance. It's an insurance policy. It's an expensive one. But what you do is when you separate, if you do not opt out, you're automatically enrolled. You just sign your name on your DD-2656, which is the form that says, like, this is how much DFAS should pay you in retirement. And they're going to take 6.5% of every monthly pension paycheck. And then what they're going to do is that'll enroll you in the Survivor's Benefit Program. And then when you die, if your spouse is still alive, your spouse will get 55% of your pension. So it's, as an example, you know, again, kind of like talking to the high three folks in the studio, if you're going to make, you know, in the high three is 50%. So we'll just take like an average between E9s and W3s and O5s retiring at 20. We'll say you're going to get $4,000 per month. That's from the very first month, the SBP is going to keep 6.5% of that. And that's, it's going to be about, what, $260? Is that about right? $260? And for that $260, if you were then to die a month later, right? Just to keep it simple, you retire, you're like, yes, I'm out. Oh, no, my heart's broken. I want to go back into the Army and, you know, clean comm equipment, whatever. But you're so heartbroken, you drop dead a month later. Your spouse will continue to receive the 55% of your $4,000. So they'll continue to get $2,200 of your pension. And so that's why the SBP is sold as it is like, well, if you died and you didn't have this, your spouse would get zero. Now, obviously, if you're not married when you're retiring, which is a, you know, there are obviously folks who make it to that point or whatever, you could opt out pretty easily. Maybe you didn't know what to do and you kept it going, and then you got married shortly after you left the service. Then that's great. Now that spouse is protected. But there are some cutoffs, right? So like if you leave and then, you know, you're, for whatever reason, now that you're home full time, and this does happen to a lot of military families and couples, is now that you're home full time, everybody's kind of bouncing off the wall and they realize like they're not actually compatible. Like it was great when you were deployed every other year and at work 12 hours a day, but now in the same house, you just can't get along and they get divorced. And if you get divorced, then SBP shuts off and now you don't have to pay for it. But if you get remarried, you can turn it back on. If your spouse, you know, gets remarried before age 55, then they're like out permanently. But if they get remarried and then they get divorced again and you're dead, like it can turn back, you know, like it's this weird, crazy thing where like maybe it exists after you're dead and maybe it doesn't. And it's all about preserving part of your pension payment for your spouse. Well, what are some of the things that are wrong with that when you just think about it off the top of your head? Well, first of all, if you outlive your spouse, then all those years you're paying for SBP, nobody gets anything, right? The only people who benefit from that were like DFAS and the government. They just kept 6.5% of your pension and had to give you nothing back. Another problem is like if you die and then your heartbroken spouse passes like 1 month later, it shuts off. Like all that future money that you had been paying SBP to ensure, to make sure it took care of your family after you're gone, it goes to zero. It goes away. Your kids are left with nothing. And so really, this is a very narrow thing. And right off the top, there should be one other thing that you recognize when you hear this is like, you don't know who's going to die first, right? Like we're talking, you're retiring from the military in around 40, 42, 45, somewhere in there, your early 40s. And in America, in 2024, a male on average is going to live to be 75 and a female is going to live to be 80, right? And so you're literally saying like in 30 years from now, I'm going to pay this SPP for 30 years, betting that I die before my wife or my husband. My legal life partner, whatever you want to call it, and that they're going to live long enough after me to get some sort of benefit that's like worth more than the premiums I've been paying for 30 years, right? It's a gamble. It's a really big gamble for 30 years in the future. It's a bigger gamble than saving for retirement, which is, you know, if you never make it to 60, then you're SOL, you never get your retirement savings back, right? But in this case, it's even a bigger one because you're not just gambling on when are you gonna kick the bucket, but like when is your spouse? And so when we look at it, we have to like kind of figure this out. And what I remember doing is, you know, going down to the Navy Yard in Washington and doing my exit counseling there with the admin shop and getting all the paperwork, and they're like, you know, they're like, are you familiar with the Survivor Benefit Program? I'm like, sort of. Like, I think I know. And they're like, okay, well, it's super easy. You just sign here. Unless you want to opt out, then you've got to get your spouse to sign it, get it notarized by a notary public, and then bring it back. And I was like, ugh, that DC traffic. Like, do I really have to spend like 3 hours in the car just to like drop off one piece of paper? You know, because it's notarized. You can't just like scan over a copy. They need original. And I looked at it and I was like, okay, I don't know what the answer is, but it doesn't feel right. So I'm going to figure this out. So I went home and I looked at the numbers and I looked at what, you know, we would be getting for the military pension. And again, you know, like if you haven't heard it before, like I chose to opt into the blended retirement system because I wanted something. If I wanted to get out before I was eligible for retirement, I wanted to get something. And, you know, so I knew like I was going to be getting no more than like 40% instead of the 50% of my high three base pay under BRS. And then I was going to give up, you know, 6.5% of that in order to get the SBP. And so I looked at the dollar amounts and I was like, I feel like I'm smart enough to figure out something to do with that like $200 that I would save by not paying an SBP. And so I sat down with my wife and I was like, okay, this is the program. We automatically opt in order to get out. I have to say no, and you have to agree that it's okay to say no, and we have to get it notarized because they're assuming I'm going to die first and that then this is your money that we're giving up. And she's like, well, is that a good idea? You know, like, shouldn't we try to like actually, it'll be worth quite a lot and be very helpful to me, you know, especially if I'm like 80 when you die and like I'm not earning money anymore. I said, yeah, it would. But there's a better way. And I you know, I laid it out for her. And in the rest of this episode, we're going to lay out a couple of those options that are on a dollar value, way, way better. Take care of your spouse. Take care of your kids. And we'll take care of you if your spouse dies first, right? With SBP, if your spouse dies first, you get nothing. Your kids get nothing, right? But in this case, in these other two ways that you can use that $200 a month, in our example, you know, for some of you, and it might only be, I think at the low end, it would have to be, because there's a minimum cutoff at which like the premiums and the benefits drop down. But at the low end, you know, you're talking about a $2,000 a month pension that, you know, on that you're paying like $130 a month for SBP. all the way up to the high end, somebody who's, we don't need to worry about like the five, you know, joint chiefs and the chairman and the joint chiefs of staff who stay in for 50 years and are getting, you know, 10 grand a month in their retirement pension. But even, you know, at the higher level, like the O5s and the O6s who are getting maybe like $5,000 or $6,000 a month in pension, you know, they could be looking at up to $400 a month to pay for the SBP. So we're talking about, for everybody who reaches retirement in the military, you know, about 16% of us staying long enough to retire, our SBP monthly premium is going to be between $130 and like $400. So you have to ask yourself, like, what can I get, or what do I get with the SBP? And what could I get if I took that money I kept in my pocket and I used it in a different way? And so we're just going to break it down. Now, I'm going to talk about some economic things, some finance type things that I'll just explain first, okay? And the first thing is this thing called discounting, all right? And discounting is not, you know, it's not like, did you get a discount at the store when you went shopping for your, like, military ID? Like, oh, yeah, take 10% off at Applebee's. Thanks, Applebee's, right? Your margin is like 60%, so 10%, whatever, dude. Discounting is when you say, like, how much is my money worth in the future, or how much is my future money worth today? And it's all about inflation, right? And so in the United States for the last 114 years, official inflation numbers have averaged 3.1% per year for over a century, right? Like, you know, if you're paying attention to the news and the Fed and inflation, and most of us are aware of it now since we all lived through like a relatively high inflation in the COVID and COVID recovery era when it got up to like 7-8%. You know, and you keep hearing like, we're going to get it down to 2%. Like, it's almost never been to 2%. Right. And the actual average of all cost inflation in the US for consumers, right? For you and me, people, just private citizens, has been 3.1%. And what that means is like your money loses its value, half its value, every 23.4 years. So if you are going to get $4,000 per month today for your pension, in order to have the same value in 23 years, you'd need to have $8,000, right? You'd have to have twice as much because the price of everything is twice as high. Inflation's doubled everything. And in 30 years, which is kind of like, you know, the smart planning for SBP, I retire in my early 40s as a male. I'll probably live until my early 70s. If I'm a female and I have a male partner, you know, my male partner will probably die in the early 70s, right? So like the 30 year from military retirement, 30 years is like the planning number. You know, no quick interlude, obviously, like if you're a female with a female partner, you're both probably going to live like the same age. Statistically, you're both supposed to make it to 80, right? So unless you're like super big age gap, or one of you is like 10 years older, you know, you're probably both going to die and at about the same time statistically. And so for any married woman in the military, like, it is our opinion you should always opt out of the survivor's benefit program, no matter your spouse's gender, because if you're married to a man, he's probably going to die before you, which means zero benefit. And if you're married to a woman, it's a flip of a coin, who's going to go first. And so, right, like, again, zero benefit. But anyway, you have to figure out like how much you need in the future to have the same value today, or vice versa, like how much money in the future would actually buy you today. And so you don't want to do that math, right? Like, that doesn't sound, I don't know if anybody would say it sounds fun, but it's not necessarily easy. You know, computers help. Google Sheets help. I use Google Sheets and put my formulas in there and figure it all out. But I did some of the math for you, right? Because I believe that the numbers are what will convince you that SBP is a bad deal for you. And to get started, let's just look at the numbers, okay? So if we're going to take, again, 4,000 bucks, let's say a pension is going to be, let's just bump it down a little bit, okay? Because I want it to be like relatable, not only to like the 05s, you know, or 06s or E9s who get out after 30 years, right? Like I want it to be relatable for your typical E8, E9 retiree, 04, 05 retiree, W3, W4, mostly W3 retirees, right? Like the big bulk of retirees. So we'll look at like $3,500 bucks a month, because that's going to be about 50% of a retiring like senior E8, E9, right around 20 years under the old plan. It'll be about 40% for, or maybe a little less, but we're going to say $3,500 bucks. Okay. So if you're going to get $3,500 a month pension and you are in SBP, your premium is going to be, from the first month, will be $227.50. Now, you're going to pay that every month. It's going to go up slightly over time. As your pension goes up, you'll pay more and more. Inflation will kind of cancel that out. But if we assume that you, for 30 years, you are continuing to live before you die in your early 70s, and we take all of those 360 payments that start at 227 and go up, and then we say, what are all of those 360 payments summed up? What are they worth today? And we found that in today's money, it's like you hand over to the government $52,523.90 for your SBP. Like that's the cost to get into the SBP over the course of the rest of your life, $52,000. And it will only go up, you know, if your pension's higher than $3,500 a month. So especially any officers who are retiring right around 20 years and are under the, you know, the legacy high three, you know, they're talking considerably more money. They're talking probably more like $75,000 or $80,000 as their SBP buy-in, because they're talking, you know, about $340 a month on a $5,000 a month pension. So anyway, we're just going to use this sort of like low end of a $52,000 buy-in. Well, what does it get you? Okay, and so when we look at it, let's say, again, we said the average male in America dies at age 75, the average female dies at age 80. So if you're a mixed gender, like man and woman, married couple, and the woman is in the military, you're going to outlive your spouse, like 9 times out of 10. So just don't even bother with SBP. You already know it's going to be zero benefit to anybody, and that just means you're flushing $52,000 down the drain. So just opt out. No questions asked. If you're a man, average health, whatever, you know, you're probably above average from the military because you worked out more, but you're below average because you, like, you know, dipped or smoked or drank 5 monsters and coffees a day. But let's just say that you know, balances and you make it to 75 and you're married to a woman and she's going to make it till 80. That means you're going to get 5 years worth of this SBP payout to her. And she's like, yes, I get half of the old pension for 5 years. Well, that's 30 to 35 years in the future. And the value right now that you get out of it is only $85,000, $85,255.69. Okay, just to prove you, I did the math, right? So I'm not just rounding things off. So you're essentially, you're trading in $52,000 and you're getting back $85,000. So your SBP decision to stay in has a net value of $33,000. And that's kind of how the government sells it, right? Like they're like, hey, look, check it out. This is good for you. Okay, it's more than zero, right? You're not losing money on it. But that's not exactly how to do it, right? Because you're paying in no matter what. And if your spouse dies before you, you get a big fat zero. Now, let's assume that that's like a 50-50 shot, right? Let's just say 50-50 shot. If you're, you know, a woman married to another woman, man married to another man, like, in which case, statistically, you should die at the same time, so it is definitely a 50-50 shot, but even in like a male female partnership or marriage, it's still, you can't predict 30 years from now, right? Like, it's too far out there to know who's going to be in better health, who's going to get cancer, who's going to, you know, have a stroke or heart attack or dementia or like diabetes, like all these things that like strike people down early. There's no way of knowing, right? But what you have to do is you have to assume that there's some chance that you will actually get zero. And so if we just say, like, let's say it's a flip of the coin, 50-50, now we have to come back and say, okay, there's a 50% chance that the SPP will pay out and give me an $85,000 value. There's also a 50% chance that I, as the retiree, will outlive my spouse and get $0, right? And so then what you do is your actual expected payout from the SPP, you have to average that. You have to say half that it's $85,000 and half that it's zero. Well, when you do that, that means that the expected payout is actually only $42,500, right? Because you do $85,000 plus zero divided by two for the two partners. So the actual expected payout on a 50-50 chance is $42,000, which you're getting for paying in $52,000, right? So it's instantly a negative $10,000 trade-off just based on for you as a couple, right? And it's a bad deal, right? You should pass it up. Now, so long as your spouse outlives you by more than 5 years, right, then you get back into the positive territory. So, you know, we also looked at it and we said, what if your spouse lives for 10 years? So you die at age 72, your partner lives to 82. That's an extra 10 years of getting the SPP. And in current dollars, we're, again, the same numbers, the same person, right? And like, we talk all about the profiles of these example service members on our blog post, which you can access over on militarywealthcoach.com/blog. Now over 10 years, they're getting twice as much money, but we got to discount it back to today. And we find out that the value then of the SPP of the payouts goes up from $85,000 to $174,000, right? So a little bit better than double, just because that pension goes up every year, right? $174,000. All right. And so now you can start to say, okay, well, a 50% chance, or even better than 50% chance that my spouse gets it, but there's still some chance that I outlive my spouse and I get zero. So the actual expected payout is something less. But in this case, if your spouse is going to live for 10 years, it's not a bad, right? Like, you're still getting positive value. So you just have to start asking yourself, okay, one, do I like the fact that I'm paying in $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 in my lifetime for SPP, and I have a chance to get $0 back if I outlive my spouse, and my kids will get $0 from all of that? Or would I like to take that money, keep it in my pocket, and put it someplace else where I can guarantee a payout, whether it's to me, to my partner, or to my kids, or to my, like, you know, my battle buddy or my cousin or my niece, like whoever, to guarantee a payout instead of having that big chance of a fat zero, right? And so the easiest way, the way to control it, is you just keep that money. Say, I'm opting out of this SPP and I'm going to invest that money, right? And again, we're saying, like, on average, the premium is going to be about $227 to $270 bucks. So we'll call it $250. And you're going to have to pay tax on that. So let's just assume it's $200 per month now extra that you keep in your pocket by opting out of the Survivor's Benefit Program. Over the same 30 years, right? Because we're just talking 30 years from military retirement to when you die in your early 70s. Hopefully not. Hopefully everybody lives a long, healthy life, longer than that. But for 30 years, if you just invested that $200 a month into an S&P 500 index fund, which we know over 30 years will average 10.8% per year, because it's done that for every single 30-year period ever that it's been in existence. And I'm not just saying, like, from 1926 to 1956 and 56 to 86 and 86 to 16. I'm talking about from January 1st, 26 to January 1st, 1956, January 2nd, 1926 to January 2nd, 1956. Every single one of those, like thousands of periods, 10.8%, right? So if you just invested that $200 in 30 years, you would have $475,000 in your investment account. And if we discount that back, doing the same thing we did for the SBP payout, it's the value of that money right now and today is $187,000, right? So it's already worth more than that sort of max benefit of $174,000 that your spouse would get if you died at age 72 and they, you know, they live for 10 years, right? Which is statistically means they live longer than they're supposed to. So that's like kind of like a best case scenario, or a super optimistic case, scenario. And you're already doing better than that, right? But the reason why it's not just a matter of like 187 versus 174. Okay. That's just like kind of like chance and like not really a big deal to me. It's actually more than twice as good because again, SBP, if your spouse dies first, nobody else gets anything, right? And so like it's essentially worth half as much as you think it is. Whereas this investment portfolio worth, you know, $475,000 in the future or $187,000 today, it doesn't matter who dies. That money is staying in your family. Somebody gets that value, whether it's your spouse, whether it's you. If you both like are coming home from work and like your walkers get tangled in the middle of the street and a semi like hits you and you're both dead at the same time, then your kids get the $187,000 worth of value, right? So like it's 100% guaranteed that you're going to get that, which means that it's this investment option is over twice as valuable as the SBP for the same price, right? You either have an SBP take out $250 a month or you're keeping it and you're investing that and you're getting over two times the value. Right. So investing it at this point, like hopefully it's already a no brainer that you're like, well, I know I'm definitely opting out of SBP because that is a ripoff and I can do way better with other options. But there's an even better option. Okay. And this is we're going to come back and talk about life insurance on a separate episode because there's a lot that goes into it and understanding. But this is where it gets really cool. All right. Because you can buy like a 30-year term life policy in your 40s that will cover you all the way up into your 70s. Okay. And so this, again, we're trying to like predict the future and you can buy term life for up to 50-year policies. It gets more expensive because, you know, they don't want to cover you when you're 90. But if you're like 30 right now or you're 25, buying a 50-year policy right now will be cheaper than waiting until you're 40 and buying a 30-year policy, right? So if you're 30 right now, buying a 40-year policy will be cheaper than waiting until, you know, to buy a 30-year policy when you actually get out, okay? So, like, just go buy the longest term you can afford right now. And you can actually buy a lot of life insurance for what you'll save by keeping your SBP premium, all right? And, in fact, right now, a 40-year-old non-smoking male in the U.S. can get 30-year term insurance worth $1 million for $120, right? And so that $200 a month savings that you are getting from your SBP actually will buy you about $1.75 million of life insurance. And if you're a woman, 40-year-old woman, because statistically you're more likely to outlive your policy, they'll give you more coverage. Right, so they can give you $2.25 million coverage for $200. That's a lot of life insurance, especially when you compare it to $475,000 of value in your investment account or the expected payout of $173,000, you know, from your SBP. When we look at a $1.75 or $2.25 million life insurance policy, the present value in $2024, if you live 30 years, you die, you know, a few months before your policy is up and your spouse gets this lump sum, it's tax-free, right? Life insurance payouts are tax-free, so they don't have to hand over 30% to Uncle Sam. And in 2054, right after you kick the bucket, your spouse gets $1.75 million. That has a value today of $691,297.49. That is over four times as valuable as the investment in a brokerage. And it's over eight times as valuable as the actual SPP payout. And it's all at the same cost, right? Because you were just taking the money that the SPP was going to keep from you, and you're just buying the life insurance, paying the premium. Once you get your insurance policy, that premium stays the same every month for the rest of the policy. It's not they're not going to index that for inflation, which means, you know, if you really want to nitpick me, that means you only got to pay $200 a month forever. And like in 23 years from now, when your pension's double and SPP, you know, would have been taken out $500, you're still only paying $200 for your insurance, which means you've got an extra $250, $300 a month in your pocket, right? So the actual value of doing this is way better for both investing or life insurance. You know, and the real kicker is if you are a female and you buy this life insurance policy and you can get $2.25 million, that has a present value of $888,811, right? So when it comes down to it, there's really no comparison. And you can take it even further by saying, like, you know, how much does that equate to in income each year, right? If you pay into the SPP and you're going to lock in for your spouse when you die in 2053, in 30 years, right? In 2054, they get that 55% of your pension through SPP, and that would amount to about $52,000 a year in 2054. Right, we've raised the pension up over the next 30 years to what it'll be, and you would get $52,000. But if your life insurance pays out $1.75 million, you know that can pay $190,000 a year for 10 years, right? If you just put it in a bank account, so you're massively you're 3 to 4 times more income per year that you can leave behind for your spouse by going life insurance compared to, you know, about 1.5 to 2 times more income through the investment case. And, you know, then SPP is far and away behind in third place, like last place, right? And so really what it comes down to is when you choose SPP, you give up control and you have this big risk of getting $0 back. If you go with life insurance, you maintain a lot of control. You're going to get a lot more money back, and it can go to people other than your spouse, right? So like if your spouse dies tragically next year and you live 30 years and then you die, well, your kids will get that payout, right? SPP, nobody's getting anything. Life insurance is tax-free, right? That's another advantage of the life insurance option. So there's no taxes on that money that they get in the future. Military pensions are taxed as ordinary income, right? So even though it's a $52,000 a year payout, they're going to pay at least 10%, if not 20% of that in income tax, right? So they're actually getting much less value. And then finally, you know, we should just be honest and say, like, not everybody cares about, like, leaving a legacy, taking care of their family through life insurance or investing 20, 30, 40 years in the future. For some people who retire out of the military, like, they want that money now, right? And if you could have an extra $2,500 to $3,000 per year in your pocket from the first year that you retire, and it goes up from there, you know, that can be enough to cover things like childcare, to take a vacation with your family, you know, and there's to help you cover, you know, supplement college savings for your kids to help them out, because college is just getting more and more expensive every year. And so there's just so much that you sacrifice by SPP. SPP is like a thin, razor-thin margin. And, you know, you're not going to ever get that, this kind of analysis or this kind of, you know, bottom line on SPP from anybody in the military, whether or not they're at your administrative shop or, you know, somebody who's just in your unit who's going through retirement, or the veterans who run the transition classes. You know, a lot of times, like, the VA or the community services who hires veterans, or, like, retirees or their spouses, like all these people who actually bought into the SPP and are now like totally biased and telling you like, it's a great deal. I think it's awesome. It makes my wife happy. It makes my husband happy. Right. Like, they're not going to give you that honest approach. Because they've 99.99% confident. Nobody else will sit down and go through the math and figure out if it's actually worth it. And so, yeah, that's about the best I can give you, over the airwaves, right? We're working on keep putting this in our forthcoming book, The Ultimate Military Retirement Plan, with graphs, with charts and things you can see. So like you can get a better figure of it. You know, and if this is enough to like really resonate with you and you're like, oh man, I'm coming up in my last 1, 2, 3 years of my time in uniform, and I know I'm going to have to make this choice. I hear what you're saying, but I want to see it. Like, please help me actually go through the numbers. Just send me an email. You send me an email. It's coach@military-wealth.com. So the dash is like the short little one, you know, line that's in the middle, not the one on the bottom. Don't hit it twice. Just military, hit the dash once, wealth.com. Or if you go to militarywealthcoach.com on the website, just below the cut line, there are links to all of our social media platforms, and you can reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, probably TikTok, although that's a lot of spam, and I don't know if anybody messages TikTok. I've not gone back to Snapchat. Tell me if I should, right? But just reach out to me, and or you can, you know, better yet, like you can cut out all the talk and coordination in between. And if you go to militarywealthcoach.com on our website, you can go to products and you can sign up for like a free consultation with me, and I'll send you a video link and we'll have a video chat. And we can walk through it, and I'll help you with the numbers so you can see what your options are and why SPP is just, by all accounts, like a really bad deal. So with that, you know, it's been a good hour. I think we've been here about an hour. Let me add one other thing, right? I kind of threw in there earlier that like, if you're a woman retiring from the military, like under no circumstance should you be part of the SPP. I think there's one exception, right? And like, there's one exception for women and there's one exception for men. And like, if you are a woman retiring from the military and you have a partner who is like 15 to 20 years younger than you, right? Like, it's got to be way more than, they have to live for way more than 10 years just to break even. Like they have to outlive you for more than 10 years just to break even with investing. To break even on insurance, they've got to outlive you for like 30 years with the SPP, right? And so like, if you're married to somebody who's 15 to 20 years younger than you, or for both, and you know, I guess that works for men and women, or you know that you have some sort of terminal medical condition that will make it impossible to get insurance and is going to result in you like dying in the next 5 to 10 years. And it can happen, right? Like if you are getting medically retired because of cancer, for example, and again, these are small examples, like a few folks every year it does apply to, then yeah, get the SPP, right? Because nobody else is going to insure that future income. And if you're going to die in your 40s, like guaranteed your spouse is going to outlive that break-even period. You know, they'll live 20, 30 plus years. It'll be worth it. But that's it, right? Like that's mathematically, there's no reason why anybody should ever have SPP. So, okay, let's wrap it up. Hey, listen, like I said, we're going to put it in the book. It's on the blog. It's going up on the blog. Cause it's important. And we've got the podcast here. So if you're coming up on that decision, please share the blog or this podcast with your partner so that they can kind of listen to it. And, you know, if you do decide that you want to talk directly with me about it and set up a video call, then find a time when your partner is available too. And I'd love to talk to both of you and hear your comments and concerns and talk through all the questions. And, you know, if you throw me a real doozy, I will say, I don't have that answer, but I'll get back to you in classic military fashion. And I'll follow up from that call with an email, to make sure that we answer all your questions and concerns and help you get this question right. Because, you know, quite clearly, you know, if you've got something that's got a present value of anywhere from $40,000 to $175,000, and an alternative choice gives you a value of $175,000 to $885,000, making the wrong choice on SBP can cost you and your family hundreds of thousands of dollars in your lifetime. So you don't want to get it wrong. All right, well, thanks for joining me. Next time we'll come back and we'll either launch into the BRS or we're going to talk about life insurance. And I think I'll probably talk about life insurance just because it would kind of flow nicely from this one. And it's on my mind. So until next time, stay financially fit and mission ready.